Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. I'm Monty Larrick. State lawmakers could act as early as January on legislation that would legalize the recreational use of today's high-potency marijuana. Through a series of webinars with various experts and other efforts, NoWeedIllinois.com is informing the public about the negative impact that marijuana is having in states that have made it legal for recreational use. Dr. Karen Randall, MD, was a guest during a recent webinar. Dr. Randall is an emergency room physician in Pueblo, Colorado, and is trained in pediatrics and family practice. She holds a certificate in cannabis science and medicine from the University of Vermont. Before today's high-potency marijuana was legalized in Colorado, voters were told by pro-marijuana advocates that legalized marijuana would be safe, tightly regulated, and for adults only. We're getting that same message now here in Illinois.
And legalization here was promised that we would have a decrease in the black market. We would have regulated products, and that's not the case. And each state has its own set of laws and regulations with regards to marijuana laws. Our state is, I would think, fairly lax when you compare it to the regulations in Washington or Oregon. But we've seen all kinds of issues that were probably a large part unforeseen. In 1990 or at Woodstock, if you bought a joint, it would have 1 to 3 milligrams of THC. If you had a really good joint, it would be 3 milligrams of THC. Currently in Colorado, you can't buy a joint with less than 18 milligrams of THC. So you can purchase joints at the store, at the dispensary, but you can also purchase joints on the streets. And sometimes what we're seeing is these joints are called dippers, and the people who are selling them will dip them in methamphetamines or opiates, cocaine, to make the joint have more appeal. But if you buy a joint in Colorado and smoke it, the equivalent is the equivalent of smoking 18 joints from Woodstock, and you're doing it all at the same time. So there is no reduction in concentration. And I don't think you're going to have a reduction in harms by increasing the concentration so much.
I was at a meeting with a couple of state lawmakers, and we were discussing the potential for legalization of today's high-potency marijuana here in Illinois. And they were telling me that, well, we have this opioid crisis in America. It's hitting Illinois very hard. And maybe one of the answers is the legalization of marijuana. And you're saying, no way, no how.
All they have to do is go to the Department of Health. It's very difficult to find. But our number of opioid deaths has increased steadily since legalization, and we certainly have a wide abundance of marijuana in the environment, and yet our opioid deaths are going up. Very easy to find the information if you go to the Colorado Department of Health. You don't have to trust me. And again, like I said, the new statistics is that Colorado is online to have a record number of opioid deaths in 2018.
Are we looking at down the road, maybe 5-10 years from now, with so many people smoking marijuana, a new epidemic of lung cancer?
My feeling is yes. I feel like no medication should be smoked. 5 or 10 years ago when the vape pens came out, everybody was like, oh, it's natural and it's okay. And now we're seeing that it isn't actually okay, right? Where there's more problems with vaping the chemicals. And we'll see that with the high concentrate THC. I mean, some people are using a blowtorch to light their dabs, and it can't be healthy for your lungs. And right now, people have never, ever smoked cannabis in the concentration and the quantity and the daily use that they are using right now. And so 5 to 10 years from now, I do believe we're going to see a substantial issue of substantial lung problems.
Is the federal government, in a sense, subsidizing the marijuana industry through Medicaid and what have you?
Oh, there's no question that they're subsidizing. Every single industry worker that I've ever seen, with the exception of one person, has been on Medicaid. So there's no question. I had the opportunity to tour a grow, and the owner of the grow came up to the tour. I toured with the police department. He came up in a brand new Audi SUV Quattro, and Through his tour, he had identified several people who were his employees. And then I asked, do you give benefits? And he goes, no, we can't afford that. So all of his employees were on Medicaid.
All of them on Medicaid. Colorado also has very liberal social services, very generous social services. And your taxpayers are subsidizing these people who are hooked on marijuana.
And part of what I think happened to Colorado, and it was very unforeseen, is we had a tsunami of people moving to Colorado, and they were bringing all their medical issues and their social issues with them. I mean, they were moving to Colorado for a number of reasons, but we have very liberal social services. You have to be here 31 days. You can sign up for a Medicaid expansion state. And people were moving here like crazy. We have an agency called Posada. In 2013, they serviced 25 homeless individuals. By 2016, they had 7,500 new individuals requesting services for homelessness. Posada had to close or change what they do because it became overwhelming. There was no way to provide those services. Low-income housing here in Pueblo is at 99% occupancy. We don't have any low-income housing. We see homeless people living in campers in Walmart, homeless people living on the streets or down by the river, and all those issues that they bring with them. They bring mental health issues, they bring crime issues, they bring medication issues, and the medical community is really overwhelmed. We have 110,000 people in Pueblo itself. Roughly about 69,000 of them are on Medicaid. So in order to recruit providers, it's very difficult because of the payer mix. So we have that issue. We have very difficult time offering services. We have a soup kitchen that was serving 50 to 100 meals a day. They're now serving over 200 a day. So services are being really requested, and we're having a very difficult time meeting this. We can't recruit, or it's been very difficult to recruit primary care providers to the area. So what's happened is that now more people are using the emergency services as a safety net for the community, and that has increased our wait times. Our hospital is now at over 100% occupancy almost daily. There were two hospitals in the area. One hospital is drastically reducing services, again, because they couldn't afford to keep it open.
What's that meant for the people of Pueblo who don't use marijuana? What's that done to their health care?
If you're the little old lady with the GI bleed and you come to the ER, you're going to sit in the waiting room for hours while the acutely psychotic person who's screaming in company of six police officers needs to be seen immediately. So getting follow-up appointments. We've had a difficulty getting specialty care and specialty service in the area. So if you're an average person, trying to get follow-up appointments with specialty care has become very difficult. So it's really hurt our services. I don't think a city like Denver, where there are more providers, would see that as much as we would. But we're 2 hours south of Denver, so we're kind of, it's our own community, and we're having a hard time recruiting providers.
If Illinois goes ahead and legalizes this new era, high-potency, turbo marijuana, if you want to call it that, there'll be some communities that have a hard time providing the medical services that people need because of marijuana.
Correct. And there's no question, and we can see it here, the number of marijuana retail stores and dispensaries in Pueblo is over 2 times the amount of Starbucks plus McDonald's in our area. The Pueblo has always been a blue-collar community. It's not ever been a really wealthy community. And the number of retail and dispensary marijuana shops is just exploded here in our community. Whereas if you look at the other communities, Aspen, Vail, Cherry Creek, some of the very much more affluent communities, they don't have marijuana shops there. So we're looking at it's almost like the distribution of alcohol stores. They tend to be more concentrated in lower economic areas, and that's the same for the marijuana stores. So it's totally affecting the community as a whole.
From your own perspective here, not necessarily as a doctor, but do you feel less safe while driving now that Colorado has legalized recreational pot?
I'll just say this. I was driving down the highway and saw a man with a face mask, a gas mask with a hose hooked to a bomb.
Oh, my.
I guess I don't feel safer.
Don't feel safer. Well, you know, I asked a couple of lawmakers just the other day about that. If Illinois goes ahead and legalizes recreational marijuana, will our roads be less safe? And they could not give me an answer.
Well, there's no question the amount of DUIs are up. That's public knowledge. It's public information. There's no question.
This is Illinois Family Spotlight. We'll continue our discussion about high-potency marijuana with Dr. Karen Randall after this.
This is an important election, and the Illinois Family Institute's nonpartisan voter guide is a reliable way to find out where the candidates stand on life, taxes, and much more.
You want to be an informed voter, and the best way to do that is with the Illinois Family Institute Voter Guide.
IFI's David Smith.
The voter guide is free. Hand them out to your family, friends.
For copies of the Illinois Family Institute Voter Guide, call 708-781-9328.
Get informed about the candidates. Get yourself a copy of the Illinois Family Institute Voter Guide.
Call 708-781-9328 for the Illinois Family Institute Voter Guide. 708-781-9328. Or visit IllinoisFamily.org for an online version.
This is Hugh Hewitt for townhall.com. The national scalding of the confirmation proceedings around Judge Brett Kavanaugh has changed the election calculus for many. We already knew, Democrats told us, that if they took back the House, they'd move to impeach President Trump. Now we know, courtesy of ranking Democrat on the House Judiciary Committee, New York City's Jerry Nadler, that he intends to hold hearings going after Brett Kavanaugh if he gets the gavel. Democrats seeking revenge for 2016, still unthinkable to them, defeat of Hillary Clinton, are not hiding their agenda. Vote for a Democrat, any Democrat, and you are imperiling the magnificent economic boom, the rearmament of America, and the restocking of the federal judiciary with judges who are not political actors. A vote for any Democrat for any House seat is a vote for Nancy Pelosi. It is that simple. I'm Hugh Hewitt.
During this edition of Illinois Family Spotlight, an edited version of a NoWeedIllinois.com webinar about marijuana with Dr. Karen Randall. Dr. Randall is an emergency room physician in Pueblo, Colorado. She's trained in pediatrics and family practice and holds a certificate in cannabis science and medicine from the University of Vermont. She has firsthand experience about the consequences of legal, high-potency marijuana in Colorado and is warning Illinois against legalization. You're trained in pediatrics. The whole aspect of pregnant moms, babies, and marijuana, well, the long-term results there just can't be good.
No, and I don't think anybody in medicine really knows what the true long-term results will be, because we've never seen THC or marijuana products with such high concentrations before. So kind of we're entering this new era where we don't really know what's going to happen, but we do know from several studies from years ago that there are definite harms to a fetus. He can, if you're a fetus and your mom uses while you're in utero, you can lose a certain number of IQ points. If you go on to use when you're a teen, you lose even more, up to a standard deviation. So if you're a person who has an average IQ of 110 and you lose a whole standard deviation, now you put yourself into the category where you're handicapped.
Well, with all this incriminating evidence against legalizing today's high-potency marijuana, why do you think lawmakers are so willing to make it legal? Is it the money, or do they think this is just a quick fix to the opioid crisis?
I think it's the money. It can't be anything else. We know it's not a quick fix. We've informed our lawmakers. We know that there are hundreds of marijuana industry lobbyists in D.C., and they have the money to really like reach the politicians. We've been trying to contact them to share the harms, to share the issues that we're seeing, and somehow people are still running to pass legalization when we know that there are so many issues here in Colorado, so many issues. And our, even Governor Hickenlooper said it's a great social experiment. But in an experiment, you actually care about the outcome. And the outcome here is not good. It needs to be better regulated. The concentration needs to be decreased. We are going to create a whole bunch of new people with addiction problems. The industry's response is that we already have big tobacco and we have alcohol. So what's marijuana? And it's my response is that we don't need another problem. And when we talk about the tax revenue that a state will make, the marijuana taxes are 0.42% of Colorado's GDP. They're almost negligible. Meanwhile, our schools are suffering. Our teachers had to strike last year to get a 2% pay raise. The police will tell you, you just have to ask a police officer in the state of Colorado, how's it going for you? They'll tell you they're overwhelmed. They can't deal with all the number of illegal grows, all the number of petty crime and small crimes, and deal with the other crimes too. They're overwhelmed and they're not seeing the benefit from the revenue either. So while they say we're going to legalize this for the tax revenue, if we look at history, the country never got rich by selling tobacco. We could not make enough tax to cover the harms of tobacco. There's no question about that. The country is not getting rich from all the alcohol sales. We're not certainly blossoming and improving because we have alcohol on sale. And so if you look at those two, it's not going to be different with marijuana. And so far it hasn't been.
So you're saying that the social, the medical cost, and all the other related costs of legal recreational marijuana outweigh the tax revenue and the job creation in Colorado?
Oh, far and above outweigh. It's the not different for tobacco and for the alcohol system. If you look at just the medical expenses alone.
What advice do you have for voters here in Illinois who are concerned about marijuana? What should they be telling their lawmakers about this?
First and foremost, be informed. I see a lot of people here say, wow, we passed this law and we had no idea. Be informed because now we're sharing this information and we do have an idea and we're sharing it with everybody. So the voter and the politician need to be informed and not just hearing from one side. So don't just hear from the tax dollars or the money for the lobbyists from the marijuana industry, but talk to the people, talk to the police officers here, talk to medical professionals here, talk to the teachers here. Be informed. Number one, first and foremost, be informed.
Let's just drive home the point. Recreational marijuana is not the answer to the opioid crisis.
It is not the answer. It is categorically 100% not the answer. We can show it in numbers. We can just go to the Department of Health, look it up. We're on track to have a record number of opioid deaths here in Colorado. And that's despite changing how we prescribe, limiting what we can prescribe. We're a record number. So it's not the answer.
Wow.
Yeah, even if you look at what happened in the Netherlands, in Amsterdam, where they legalized it, they had really high potency. Them was 15 milligrams, which you can't buy a joint in Colorado for less than that. And they cut back on the concentration because they saw it was creating all kinds of problems, and they're far better regulated than we are here. I think they do have better laws in Washington and Oregon, but I'm not 100% sure because I'm not there. But here it's just a free-for-all. I mean, it's just totally a free-for-all. There's no reason to deceptively put pot in an inhaler except that kids can use it at school, right? Or edibles at school. And we have a 19,000 square foot Pepsi plant that they're going to make the biggest indoor grow in the world. And so they're projecting 70,000 pounds of pot a year that they'll make. There's another one going up in Salida and they're projecting 20,000 pounds. So just between those two rows, it's almost 100,000 pounds of pot. And you go, who's going to use all that, right? It's like, who's going to use that? And the only way you can get people to use is, you know, you have to get them addicted. You have to get them coming back. And so, I mean, Colorado is the number one exporter of pot in the world.
You know, I can see where one of the things do is they'll lower the age. They'll start out at 21, then they'll say, well, you know, you're able to vote at 18 and you can serve in the military at 18. So why shouldn't they be able to use marijuana?
Well, the reality is, to be honest with you, is that no one is enforcing any of this here. They'll check your ID card when you go to a store to buy it. And there's no enforcement. So it's like you come, you're positive, no one cares. So they're definitely using earlier and using more. You have all the retiring baby boomers, and you have a good portion of this new generation, and our kids are going to have to pay for that. They're going to have to pay for all the retiring baby boomers, and then they're going to have to pay for the portion of their generation that's using, because they're not using pot and going out and becoming physicians or anything. And imagine, like, as a parent, you say, well, if you use marijuana, you're going to exclude yourself from a substantial portion of jobs. You can't be a pilot, you can't be a doctor, you can't be a nurse because you may have to test. So you just eliminate a huge prospect of employment for your child. And yet I see parents here all the time who think it's really, they're the cool parent by letting their kid use. They're cool. I'm so cool, I let Johnny use.
Goodness gracious. Yeah.
Yeah, and you go, it's just, it's normalization. And I think what's happened and why we're seeing drug usage go up is because we're normalizing it, right? It's totally normalized this behavior. There's a big move, I don't know if you know this, but there's a big move back east to eliminate drug testing because people are now saying, well, it's not fair. Well, of course the industry's behind that, right? Because they eliminate that fear of drug testing, then you can use, right? And you can get more people who use. But do you really want to step on a plane with a pilot who doesn't have any drug testing? I don't, I honestly don't. Do you want to have a neurosurgeon who's not potentially at risk for, I mean, they don't, do they drug test most of us? No. But is that thought there? Yes. And I think just having that thought means, well, I certainly wouldn't do it, but I wouldn't want a neurosurgeon who's used pot to open up my brain, right? And
you know, I wouldn't want a fast food worker preparing my hamburger.
I have to tell you that, like, honestly, have eliminated almost all fast food.
I really appreciate your time and your expertise, and you're just a wealth of knowledge. So
yeah, we're happy to help.
Dr. Karen Randall from a NoWeedIllinois.com webinar. Be sure to contact your state lawmakers and ask them to vote no on marijuana. For lawmaker phone numbers, click Officials Finder on the IllinoisFamily.org homepage. A reminder, the Illinois Family Institute Voter Guide lets you know where the candidates for office stand on marijuana and other key issues. For copies, call 708-781-9328, 708-781-9328. And please support the work of the Illinois Family Institute. All donations are tax deductible. Tell a friend about Illinois Family Spotlight, and until next time, God bless.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.